Today is Monday, September the 23rd, 2002. This is a meeting of the Claybrook County Historical Commission.
The Mac Roberts family, a lot of impact on this town. And Elsie Mac Roberts to tell the city after he first came to Kingsville. And I'll just have to tell you before she starts talking that I remember her grandfather. I was in and out of the McRoberts house many times, and he was always sitting in his easy chair listening to the kitchen, and there was always something good being cooked in that kitchen. So I have a very fond memory of that family, and I know that this is going to be something that all of us will enjoy. Johanna Shoup.
Well, my family, along with being coming here very, the first letter that I have is dated 1907. Then I skipped to a few in 1909. And then I have many, many, many letters in 1913. My family, and I'm very glad now, I didn't like it when I was younger, but they were very good pack rats. They saved everything. Evidently, my grandfather and grandmother kind of like got engaged in January of 1913. My grandfather was here. My grandmother was in Princeton, Indiana. There are letters, at least two, of every day from January until June when they were married, which I have read through. After that, there are letters from when she would go home to visit in Indiana and Granddad would be here working. Most of my information I found from those little later letters. The letters from 1913, she had never been to Kingsville. She didn't know anybody here. So most of those were just sweetheart letters, I call them. He did make comments in some of them, but most of them were just sweetheart letters. And after they were married, then there's a lot more correspondence that makes sense that tells me about things that happened in Kingsville. I've brought some old pictures that are there, a few of the old that I have. I can identify my grandfather in some of them. A lot of them have got to be railroad office pictures, and I don't know who they are. But y'all can look in those if you have a chance. I singled out a few of the letters. They're still in pretty good shape, really, for being that old. And brought these, and I'll just go through some of the things I found in these letters. And when y'all get tired of listening or it's time to go home and I'm not through, just say, just tell me, okay? And he talks, a lot of the letters in 1913, like I said, were sweetheart letters. He does say things like, the few things he ever mentions that he did beside work, and I mean the railroad mister worked him hard then, because he talks a lot about working late and everything like that. There was a pool room, evidently. He played pool. He played dominoes with someone named Clarence McCluskey and the Masons. He says a lot about studying for his first degree and studying and then getting his second degree and this. So, and that was back in 1913. He talks a lot about that. On that table is a railroad pass from 1913 for my, evidently it was the pass for them to come back to Kingsville after they were married, because it has Elsie McRoberts and wife on it. I don't know an address. I don't know where he lived. It was always box so-and-so on the letters. He rented a room somewhere, because he talks about he got new neighbors next door and they were kind of loud. He writes that to my grandmother. There I found this dated 1914, that he was appointed storekeeper of the St. Louis Brownsville Railway with headquarters in Kingsville, Texas, signed by the master of Mopac, J.C. Millen, it looks like, or maybe McMillan. I found this old piece of paper. Then before that, he was chief clerk I found note of that in December of 1913. 1914, evidently when my grandmother had gone home for a visit, he says he went to the picture show. So we had a picture show in 1914. And he makes a comment, there are little things in here that say some things about the war. September 1914, he writes, the Germans took Nice, France. I also, he talks a lot about finishing this letter so that he can get it on the train before it goes out. Evidently not only working for the railroad, but he waited for the train with bated breath, morning and afternoon waiting for letters. They all had the old 1 cent, 2 cent stamps on them. He makes note of, he sent a special delivery letter. He said, I don't really know quite sure. He said, and it really wasn't worth spending 7 more cents for when I could have sent it to you for 2 cents, but he spent 10 cents on a special delivery letter. September 1914, he talks about good steak is scarce in Kingsville. And some of this, and I'll try and do this as I go along, some of this stationery is just as priceless, if not more priceless, than what's written on it. There is stationery here from New Orleans, St. Louis, Brentwood, with a million different railroad names on it, and I'll let y'all look at these when we get through if you'd like to. Okay, let's see here. What is this letter? I have some of these just out here like this. Oh, this is hysterical. Excuse my glasses here. This sounds just like my grandfather. Hooray, got my hair cut short like a jackass yesterday. Pompadour, you know, and I like it real well. Sure is a lot cooler than the bunch of hair I had been wearing. And sure did cut up some yesterday. Bought me a new shirt, 6 new pairs of socks, 6 collars, and last but not least, a new hat. And an Irish blue one at that. Believe me, it's some lid. Like it fine, too, for a wonder. Tom and I, and this is Tom McCord. He speaks a lot about a Tom McCord in the letters. Tom and I kicked my old straw hat plumb full of holes. Don't know what the dickens I'll wear to work tomorrow. But that sounds just like my grandfather. He every once in a while talks about the weather, and when it's rainy, he complains about the mud, of course, here. And sometimes that was a September 1914, and it's so hot the sweat's trickling down his back, so the weather hasn't changed much. Okay, let's see here what this letter had that I thought was important. Rode almost to Brownsville the other night. This is September 1914, when we were going down there with somebody on his private car on the railroad. We talked about everything and everybody. I felt all swelled up about getting to ride on this private car on the way to Brownsville. And he says the next week he thinks he'll get to go to Houston on a private car. It looks like somebody's initials. Maybe you can... Somebody that might be familiar with some of these names can look at it and see whose private car it was. I can't read that part of it. There is some letters here. My great-grandfather, E.E. McRoberts, was still in Princeton at this time. He did come down here in the 20s and did some construction here. I have some of these letters. This is dated February 1915. He writes my grandfather, do they raise oranges and lemons in Kingsville? Mr. Royalty spoke about them in Corpus, also bananas. I don't understand that they grow such to any extent there. And this one, he talks something about the war in it too, I think. This ought to be the best of times we've seen in this country, for the war in Europe is doing us much more good than harm. I rather think that the war will end in the next few months. When Italy gets in on the side of the Allies, it will almost compel Austria to sue for peace. And then that will give Germany an excuse, and I think she's beginning to look for one, to ask for a peacetime. I hardly know what effect the end of the war will have on the business of this country. And he asked Granddad if he can get him a pass without infringing on his job so that maybe they could come down. Now, this is really something unusual that was shipped on the train. This is a note from someone named Guadalupe that says, it's dated Sinton, Texas, December 14, 1915. Mr. L.C. McRoberts, chief clerk, dear sir, Porter will have a deer ham for you tomorrow on the number one. Meet the train without fail, please. Wire me okay if you receive this notice. So evidently they shipped lots of things back and forth to each other on the train. I have a letter on from my Uncle Reuben in 1917, who was in Camp Shelby, which I think was California. He was in the war, in the band, writing to my grandfather here on some stationery of the Young Men's Christian Associations of the United States. About the only thing it says in here is that he thinks he's going to be sent to a different station because the request for wool uniforms has been canceled. But he was in the band and not in the front lines or anything. He was in the States in that one. Okay. 1916, he speaks of Percy House, and Percy and he are writing up the lodge minutes after supper. He writes about the Casa Ricardo and where he ate and what he ate in some of these, as soon as I get to this here. This is September 1916. Tried every restaurant in town, including Ma's, and this is Ma Horan. H-O-R-A-N, that evidently had a restaurant at that time, and the Casa Ricardo. I find that the 35-cent lunches at the Casa as they are the best. For dinner at the Casa Ricardo, we had roast beef and gravy, sweetened Irish potatoes, butter beans, iced tea, ice cream, and cake, and it was all good for 35 cents. Think I'll eat there regular. At Sunday dinners and supper at Ma's, and she didn't have a damn thing except poor service. Yeah. I have a copy of the selling when my grandfather bought lots number 13, 14, 15, 16 in Block 86 in the Kingsville, Texas Township, and who he bought it from. I assume this was June 1923, probably is the lots that he owned there on Fordyce. I don't know that he ever owned any others. And he paid $2,691. And it's on stationery from the Insurance Company of North America with L.C. McRoberts, agent, and dated 1923, some correspondence there. This letter was written on the Kingsville Building and Loan Association. There's nobody, it says authorized capital $1 million, but there's no agents' names or anything on this one, but there is on some of the others. October 1926. Now I skip to about 1926 here when I start finding some other information on the letters. This one, my grandmother had gone home to Indiana, and my grandfather writes, Bob, who was my Uncle Bob, went to a party yesterday and stayed till we had to go after him. Charles Reuben went to the football game with me. I was head linesman, and every time I got close to the sideline, he was right there to ask me something. He knew more about the game than I did when we got home. My grandfather was a big football fan and helped coach and a lot of the A&I teams. We came downtown last night and stayed until about 9, then rode down the highway and all went home. They declined to go to the Shriner dance. Okay. It says he goes riding with the Price girls. All rode down the highway nearly to Rivera this noon. Rained on us a little all the way there and back. He had to put the raincoat over the boys to keep them from getting all wet, so evidently it was an open top car that they were in. Um, They have a hard time getting plumbing work done here. I imagine if Bob came down, this was an uncle that was in Princeton, there'd be plenty to do. They charge an average of $315 for ordinary four-piece installation. I don't know what ordinary four-piece installation is, but $315 to me back then seemed like a lot of money. So it must have been a big deal. I had a good month for October. I made $454, so I guess yours and Dindy's trip won't leave us in the lurch. Tom and I will close two big deals tomorrow, and that will net us $180 each. That'll be a pretty good start for November. This is when, I think that these were from oil wells that he was making the money on these, because there's something in another one of these letters that says something about that. Carl Weller and I drove down the road hunting this afternoon and didn't get anything. Raining too much for dove and didn't have any in the lakes for ducks. Don't think duck cutting will be much good as there's but little water. It's still raining and maybe it'll fill them up. In almost every letter there's something about hunting ducks or something like that. This letter is on the Wilson Realty Company stationery. Ben F. Wilson, T.H. Lawrence Jr., L.C. McRoberts, Real Estate, Oil Leases, Loans, and Insurance, Room 19 of the Flato Building, phone number 133. This is dated November 1926. This is when my grandfather evidently was building the library. He says it's getting along fine with the library, except he's now delayed on some material. He wants to get it done by Christmas if he can, but I rather think he'll be late. They are working on the Johns and the George buildings, and everywhere else you look, there is some work going on of some kind. They finally finished and put in operation the filling station out on the highway by the Thompson place, by the Thomas place. What we need is more filling stations. I believe November 1926. Yeah, November 1926. Mm-hmm. Says on the. Yeah, that's a good. Okay, but John, here's something else about it. It says, there isn't much of anything to write about. The building boom keeps up. C.D. Johns is going to build a building just east of the First State Bank. It is to be for a Greek candy kitchen. Granddad was figuring on plans last night. C.D. So that's what C.D. Johns was building anyway. East of First State Bank, wherever that was. November 1926 is also when they were paving all the streets in town. There's mention of that in several letters at this time. Granddad writes one thing that 9th Street is all torn up and he can hardly walk to town. My Uncle Bob writes, they're scraping our street and getting it ready to pave. They have piled up dirt in the yard and how they have been playing in it, the brothers had, and how much they like those big piles of dirt. The Peacocks played the Javelinas, and the Javelinas beat them 41-0. This is November 1926. The Peacocks were big fellas, but they could not play football worth having. I don't know, it didn't say that. It didn't say that. Here it talks about the Kennedys and the Mathises both had dirt put in their yard, so we got some put in ours to play in too from my Uncle Chili. This letter is on the letterhead from the Herald Drug Company, November 1926. N.M. Herald, Secretary Treasurer, J.C. Nolan, President, O.A. Smith, Vice President, stores in Kingsville and Mercedes, Texas. They've been hunting and gotten 8 geese, 2 ducks, and 2 curlew, and somebody brought in some venison, and how much they had to eat for Thanksgiving, they were evidently gone. And in this one, too, and I'll let, if y'all want to look at this, he says, I figured out a schedule for you that will fit pretty well on getting her home from Indiana. And I thought this was interesting in the times and how long it took on the train. Leave Princeton at 12:15 noon on Saturday. You'll get to St. Louis at 6:10. So it took 6 hours to get from Princeton to St. Louis. It took 6 hours to get from St. Louis to Dallas. It says leave St. Louis at 6:45, get to Dallas at 1:10. And wait a minute, that says p.m. That may be more than that. That may be like 24 hours. Or 18. Houston to Kingsville from 2:30 in the afternoon to 4 o'clock in the morning, or something like that. And he talks about, be sure and have an understanding with the ticket agent that you are to be routed through Dallas and Houston and made sure about the Dallas stopover on the ticket. And another thing, have the Southern agent arrange for your Pullman reservation out of St. Louis and don't ride any day coaches any part of the way. He will, of course, just arrange the St. Louis to Dallas connection and then you will get into Dallas, see about the seat space for the day train. I suppose they'll have parlor and Pullman ones both, so you can take your choice. About riding the train home. I'm sure she got to go home to Indiana a lot more because he worked for the railroad and she had the passes to go home. He writes at the end of this letter that I really ought to close. I'm using all of Nick's stationery on the Herald thing here. Went hunting again this morning. This is November 1926 with Tom Lawrence, Coach Smith, and his dad. 2 goats, 2 ducks, and 2 curlew is what they got. Somebody brought them a bunch of venison, like I said. At this time, when they were gone in 1926, my great-grandparents were here, and so they stayed with my grandfather and helped take care of Chili and Bob, who were like 8 and 6, I guess, or something like that, while my grandmother was gone with my mother up to Indiana. And for some reason, he sent this from the DeWitt & Company Incorporated. This is 1932. Some kind of hygiene powder or something. This was in an envelope in here. I guess they thought it was some new magic thing. DeWitt's free sample hygienic powder. And it's still there. The last letter I have out here was dated in October of 1928, and this is from my grandfather, my great-grandfather, to my grandfather, and he's got some things he says in here about the war and stuff about the president that I thought were good to hear. Let me see. Okay. He'd been here and he'd gone home, that's what it is, and he's telling my grandfather, old man Matthews, the house mover, owes us $2 for lumber bought from us at Falfurrias. See if you can collect that. We really need it.
Also, Lewis, see if by any possible means you could get in Bill Davis's old paint shed in the rear of ME Churches and take our few things to your place. We should have a $5 screw jack, some rope nails, and I know not what else. They were over on the south side of the building, on the south wall. So, how's politics down there? Some people think up here that Hoover will carry Texas, but I'm not sure he will, and think he will get a large vote. I'm not sure he won't, and I think he will get a large vote. When Don was home, he said he had paid his poll tax so he could vote for Hoover. I'm much afraid that Smith will get a lot of Republican votes. They were big Republicans, so he's worried about Democrats getting some Republican votes. And I guess that's all that I have on this one here to read you. But I learned a lot. Of course, y'all probably know a lot of this stuff that I've just told you. But a lot of this is very eye-opening to me. I went through almost and read almost all the letters that we had there and got them all in file by date and all that stuff. And I guess I will see if the archives or somebody like that would be interested in them.
Yes.
Okay.
What about the railroad depot?
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh
yeah. Ben, have you asked for it?
But he doesn't do papers. He does things. Art tax.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got a railroad pass over there, and some pictures that I brought that are right there have got to be pictures from old railroad men. There are a few that I can recognize my grandfather in. One of them that's hysterical, y'all need to look out, that big one that's rolled out, is the Claiborne County Fair in 1923. It's a picture of the parade that they must have had. And I mean, they are duded up. There are some people there really dressed up for that. I also have some dance cards from some dances that they had in 1913 and 1914 that are there that y'all can look at in some old pictures. I haven't begun to sort through all of the pictures that my grandparents left to my mother and now that I have. So someday when I get to go through all those pictures, then maybe there'll be more that we can put at the depot or give to the archives or something like that. Because I find, as much as I dearly love all this stuff, I finally come to the conclusion that there's no way that I can keep it. So I appreciate y'all having me. And it really wasn't, I told Catherine, I said, after I read some of the first letters, I told her, I'm not really finding that much to tell you. But as I went on and they got over the sweetheart stage, then there was more mention of Kingsville and some of the things that were going on there. And so it was real interesting. And the old stamps are really, because they're all these letters are in their envelopes with the stamps on them and the postmarks from Kingsville and from Princeton, Indiana. So all of those were fun to look at too. So I thank y'all for having me.